Good morning and welcome to the Coffee and Cap Rates Podcast, your go-to source for New York City's latest commercial real estate insights. This program is brought to you by Ariel Property Advisors.
Hi, everyone. I'm Shimon Shkuri here with Ariel Property Advisors, and today with my partner, Victor Sozio, and also our Senior Director in Capital Services, Matt Zabanek. All three of us are going to talk about the multifamily market and what we've seen in 2023 and what we've started to see also in 2024. Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good, Shimon. How are you?
Hi, Shimon. Hi, everyone.
Hey, Vic. You're doing well. So let's talk about a little bit about numbers. $7.4 billion of multifamily transaction, a 52% decline year over year, the lowest year since in the past 10 years. And when we look at multifamily, we divide it to free market, rent stabilized, and affordable. We looked at free market. We saw a lot of discretionary sellers. So those who didn't need to sell really held back. But we did see some transactions clearly there, and a lot of transactions, more than usual, I would say, in the affordable housing world that you handled, Vic. What have you seen specifically in affordable and rent stabilized in general in 2023, and what did we see there?
Sure. Look, I'll start by saying in a way, what we saw there, we saw in other asset classes as well, just more broadly, in the sense that we had a lot of factors in play that made transactions difficult, and most significant factors being the bank failures, the interest rates rising so sharply at one point, and politics continuing to not really make any significant progress in our state as it relates to housing anyway. But you did see the overall share of affordable housing grow and account for a significant portion of that $7.4 billion, more than it's accounted for proportionally in years prior. I will say that part of it was driven by a large Nuveen and Omni transaction that in itself was around $1 billion. But there were other large transactions as well that occurred, some that we were a part of in Coney Island and Northern Manhattan and the Bronx. And, you know, what you're continuing to see is more buckets of capital and equity are interested in this space, this segment of the market, the fact that you do have tools to work with and create real value while also serving a social utility purpose. And, you know, what I mean by that is you can preserve assets, you can get new tax benefits, you can put vouchers in play that can even move the top line revenue, and in a way that is encouraged by the local government, where, you know, in other segments of the market, they have been impacted significantly by the local government and its politics, like in development or in the free market asset class with, you know, talk of good cause eviction and et cetera. So, you know, we see that the appetite and the depth of interest in that product continue to grow. Really, it's happened, Shimon. I mean, at this point, we've been working together for close to 20 years, and I think since day one, but, you know, it's really taken off in the past 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, it's been a great ride with you so far in the past 20 years, and you're kind of modest about not talking about Steep Park so much. You led a transaction that ended up being $150 million, and you led another one for Goldman Sachs and Ashland Uptown. That was a big one. And I think that, Vic, what you said about mission-driven capital and the alignment of interest that exists somewhat in affordable housing, specifically where government and private money intersect, is key to successful transactions. And you know exactly how to explain and to extract the value into these assets. And you're absolutely right that there's more alignment. One of the things that have been interesting, as you mentioned, is the bank failures, and specifically the closure of Signature Bank, which was a major lender in the city. And Vic, you and I know that affected many of our clients. And Matt Zabanek, who is doing a tremendous amount of work here in financing, can allude to that. I know 2023 was a little bit harder, but you did manage to get a bunch of transactions go through. And I'm wondering, how do you see 2024? I know there's some new lenders out there, Matt, that could be playing a role or major role here. What do you see? What did you see, and what do you see now moving forward in 2024, Matt?
Yeah, I think you guys hit one of the big things on the head, which is the bank for the bank closures, not just Signature, but First Republic and a number of others, which greatly impacted the market. I would say the second driving factor was rates. You know, we saw treasuries skyrocket over the past 12 months. And it was one of those situations where when, you know, it took you 60 to 90 days to close a deal, you could go from you could start at a very low rate and end up at a very high rate, and it could completely change the economics of the deal. So while we were able to get some deals, you know, good handful of deals done last year, there was still a number of situations that we ran into. I think moving forward, we're a lot more optimistic. We're seeing rates come down and start to stabilize. And Shimon, I agree with you. We're starting to see a number of new players enter the market. We're in discussions with a number of banks as well as private lenders who are looking to enter either the New York or the U.S. market for the first time. We see there's a real demand. A lot of people think who have fresh capital are looking to deploy it because they see opportunities. So while the end of last year was slow, since the beginning of the year, we've seen a real pickup. Activity has increased, and we're seeing a lot more transactions start to progress. We also saw last year was sort of the year of the value add deal for us. It was the only way to really make sense of a lot of transactions. You know, we're actually looking to close a $25 million value add deal next week, multifamily with some vacancies. And we were able to find a bank to get creative and give us a very interesting structure that allowed the client to get to the finish line. And that's something that I think, you know, especially with last year where it was something that was very aggressive and interesting. And we're excited to see how that continues and evolves into 2024.
Beautiful. So 2024 started. You're already closing deals. And Vic, I know you're closing deals too in the first month of the year. You want to talk a little bit about that and see if we can think through what this means for 2024 to the extent that we can.
Sure. And like you said, we did close a few transactions already in the new year, some that were multifamily, some that were development sites. In the city here. But on the multifamily side, it's interesting, right? I was thinking about this the other day that I don't remember a time where it was as prevalent that there were so many operators seeking pref equity or bridge financing or something to fill the gap in a capital stack and finish a business plan or to just endure to a point where they're faced with either a mortgage maturity or a better market condition to sell. And now I think a lot of the deals that are currently on the market more are driven by mortgage maturities and lifestyle decisions and groups that have still some real deep equity in the transaction in some cases. But I think later on, hopefully this year or beyond, you really start to see more groups pull the trigger on marketing an asset because they feel market conditions are more conducive to monetizing the asset and experiencing what they perceive as full value. I do see inventory increasing already, and a lot more conversations are being had about when to market an asset or recap an asset. And hopefully, if we have some relative stability or continued relative stability, you know, we just started experiencing a taste of it. But if we see that for a successive amount of months, then I think you'll really start to see more of these players come into market, look to monetize it. And we already know, Shimon, there's a ton of capital out there ready to do something. It's just they still lack the confidence to write those big checks that they did in years prior.
Yeah, I think, Zick, you hit on a few very, very good points, and I'll start with the end. I mean, $300 billion of fresh capital is out there that could buy you about $800 billion, close to $1 trillion in real estate. You're absolutely right about that, and it's super interesting. And the second point, which I think is something we spoke with for this podcast, which I found super enlightening, is what you said about pref equity and bridging the gap and joint ventures and so on. And part of the conversations that you and I and others are having today is about that. It's exactly about how to get into positions where if we can't sell or we don't want to sell, if a client doesn't want to sell because they want to stay in, but they have a forced situation, how can they stay in and enjoy the upside And that could be a partial sale of JV. So I think that's great. And in terms of hearing more transactions by the end of 2024, that's definitely music to our ears. I think that's great. And read our report. Guys, it's the first month of the year. We have a lot going on. We're going to talk again in about a quarter or so, and we'll take it from there. But happy 2024, everybody.